All right, Barbara, how are you today?
Fine, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing good. What did you think about the latest, did you get a chance to read David Bailey's latest?
I didn't get all the way through it, but I got far enough.
Far enough?
You don't have to get very far before you find all the holes in his argument here. But anyway, I didn't hear what you said at the beginning of the program, but he of course starts out with an unproven premise.
Right.
He states, our research indicates that the official King James Version Scholarship Committee completed their work in 1610 and handed the manuscript to King James. Well, they don't identify what their research is, and of course, this is patently false.
And there's no references, cross references, nothing to tell us what their research. Their research is finding weird things, pictures and stuff, and that's what their research is. So they're saying they have no proof that King James handed this Bible off to Francis Bacon.
Yeah. Then he says in the next sentence, King promptly gave that manuscript to Sir Francis Bacon. And then historians have debated why King James felt that Bacon needed this manuscript for 1 year. Well, he's begging the question. You know, he hasn't even proven that this is the case, and he can't prove it. So
it's kind of like saying, when did you quit beating your wife? It's
yes,
like when you ask somebody
exactly.
that question, when did you stop beating your wife? So, you know.
Yeah.
And he also, and I'm going to copy and paste it. You know, he scared everybody to death with the fair, with the his copyright thing on there, which is, thanks to your research, and I've got lawyers in my family, my daughter-in-law and my stepson, whose parents are my grandchildren, they're lawyers. And this fair use of articles and things that are written out there is widely used and widely been out there a long time. And this fear tactic of David Bayes, it worked a while on me. But we're going to be copying and pasting those sentences you just read, those exact sentences, putting in an email, and demanding everybody to call David Bailey and ask for him to give reference to that, because no one's going to believe it until he proves it with absolute references. For him to continue to keep saying that is terrible. And this is another thing he continues to keep saying. And he also talks about all the hidden truth. You know, there's nothing worse. It's just like that guy in California and the one that sent me a letter, all this hidden truth and hidden knowledge. He says, even though some of the most evil men in the world history had their hands on the King James from the inside out, you know, they could not change one bit of the text. He's going to eventually say they changed some text. You can mark my words. Now, last time I said he's going to be saying they numbered all the verses and the chapters in a, mark my words, he's now coming out with that. Now you mark my words, he will say, whoops, he tweaked it here in the scriptures and he tweaked it there in the scriptures. So we'll be expecting that real soon, huh, Barbara?
Yes, and Kelly, what you just referred to, you know, that man from California that sent you that letter about the King James Version, I think, you know, David Bailey may never actually say Francis Bacon changed the text, but these Illuminati have their field workers out there, and they're going to be circulating the lie that if King James and the Rosicrucians had their hands on the King James Version, of course they changed the text. So David Bailey doesn't have to say it. They're already out there. And
they're calling on the shortwave all the time, and they're saying, you can't trust it. All these men were terrible. Just like the guy that, you can't trust anything in this. I said, well, why do you keep quoting? It's funny how they quote the ones they want, and then they point out the ones they don't like. It's amazing how many people are out there that believe in no Bible. I mean, I got exposed to that just recently. Like, Phyllis, remember that lady up in Tennessee or somewhere? And she was, you know, Christian, but there was not one Bible and not one word of God anywhere on this planet that she trusted. She only trusted the spirit within her. And I went, whoa. You know, that means that anything goes, from whatever, you know, whatever stomach ache you had, or from whatever, you know, whatever dream you might have, or whatever demonic vision you might get. You have no idea. You're tossed to and fro. You got to be every day with anything anyone tells you.
Yes, and this is the whole point of that, to move. You see, we're in the new, according to the New Age movement, we are now in the, okay, Joachim of Fiore prophesied that there were three dispensations in all of history, and that the Old Testament was the age of the Father, the New Testament was the age of the Son, and the millennium was going to be the age of the Spirit. And, of course, the Son is the Word of God. And they say we're now moving out of the age of the Son into the age of the Spirit. Of course, that's where anything goes. The Word is no longer preeminent. They're going to do away with the Word, the written Word, and everybody is going to be following the so-called Spirit, which is none other than Lucifer. So this person that is written to you is just parroting that Gnostic philosophy. And, of course, this is what's going to be the follow-up to David Bay. See, David Bay is just in the destructive process. He has to destroy confidence in the Word of God.
All right, now this sounds like, see, he's an Army intelligence guy. And when you go in the Army, and I haven't been in there, thank goodness, but what they do is they destroy, they tear you down and then build you back up. And as you know, tear you down and just destroy you, humiliate you, wear you out physically, mentally, emotionally, brainwash you, and then they tear you down and then destroy you, and then they build you back up in the military. Isn't that right, Barbara?
Yes.
And that's what he's doing here with the Bible.
And he's destroying Christians' confidence in the Bible. And then along come these other agents and say you can't trust any Bible. And so you've just got to listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you. It's very, you know, David Bay is in the chaos. He's producing the chaos.
Yes, he's producing the chaos. He's tearing down the confidence. He's tearing down the foundations. He's tearing at the foundations. And the scriptures say, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Number one, as a born-again Christian, don't ever let anybody touch your foundation, Word of God. And if you can't stand on anything, the only thing you can stand on is the Word of God. Otherwise, you're not standing. You're in quicksand and you're swallowed up, okay? Sucked in, like that poor little boy recently here. Anyways, this one's the guy from Waco. He says, beware of them who teach from Paul's gospel or Peter's, for they are the patrons of wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul was the first stigmata and was graced with the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ for his continuing persecutions. And Simon, also called Peter, was the father of Judas Iscariot, son of perdition, also conspired with his illegitimate son to betray our Lord. So, I mean, he's saying you can't even read from Paul or from Peter in the Bible.
Yes, and Kelly, did you notice on the second page of that letter from Waco, he says, he quotes certain verses from the King James,
mm-hmm.
and then he says, in its original form, the verse read this way.
Right.
And he doesn't even identify what the
Bible he's reading out of.
What Bible he's reading out of. Now, he says, okay, this is how Matthew 7:5 read before
King James
got his hands on it. And, of course, we all know how the King James reads in Matthew 7:5, thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Yeah, and this guy also says, you know that King James was a Freemason, and he was a member of this lodge right there. And there's we got perfect proof that he was a member of a lodge there in England. And you can't, I mean, basically what this guy is he already knows everything David Bay's doing. What David Bay's doing is act like he found all this, and he's doing it. But this looks to me like this information's been out for a long, long time. It might just not have been to me, but this information's been out for a long, long time. David Bay's not the founder of this. I think the reason why they're even selling the 1611 King James Bible in some of these Patriot Movement meetings is because they want people to see maybe what's in it, the evil part that's in it, and claim that it was done by Rosicrucians and whatnot. So this foundation laying to discredit this Bible has been going on for a long time in the planning. And it's not just David Bay and his crew. It's lots of people. And it's been out for a long time, the attack on King James and the King James Bible. And because of the Rosicrucians and the Freemasons, this guy says, of course, he says that Luther was a Rosicrucian. Of course, I don't know if he was or not, but I don't trust Luther. You don't trust any of them. Luther might have been part of the dialectic. Back then, as Calvin was, And then he goes on to say that Calvin, that Bereans were the Gnostic sect with the Calvinists. Well, you know, Bereans existed long before John Calvin ever was born, from the scriptures in Acts and from the people who lived in Berea. And yeah, I'm sure there's some Gnostics out there that, and other people that use the word term Bereans, but we here at the Berean Chronicles use it because we're going to search things out for the truth. We'll listen to things, but we're going to go to the scriptures. Scriptures is our foundation for absolute truth. And no man, no spirit, because we're to test all the spirits. And you can't test them, can you, Barbara, if you don't have the Word of God?
No. No, not at all. And this man says that before the King James Version, this verse was translated differently. If you are in my bosom and do not do the will of my Father which is in heaven, out of my bosom will I cast you away. He doesn't identify which version. But if you look in the Geneva Bible, which was before the King James Bible, it's translated exactly the same as in the King James. So he's pulled some Masonic version out of the hat and saying that this is the original form of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even tell us what version he's using.
No, he doesn't.
Or where he's getting that new verse from. I will say a lot of these people are channeling from demons, and they believe that they have, like he said, there's only three on this continent. We're gonna get that, I got that. And we should be saving this for the second hour. We shouldn't be going over this hour because he's going to be on listening the second hour. It's funny how he sent me 6, 7, 8 pages of typed information, which is just crazy. Let me just tell you about the craziest stuff I've ever read in my entire life. Those who attempt to force open the hidden scriptures are rewarded for their efforts by receiving delusions from which they cannot be extracted. So if you guys are trying to force open the hidden things in the scripture, and he says there are examples of hidden truths that I've spoken of in this course. See, this sounds like David Bay. David Bay's got all these hidden, he uses the word hidden all the time, hidden truths here and there that I've spoken of in this correspondence. What need would God have of chosen prophets if everyone who presumed to use his name was capable of knowing his truth when he has hidden it so it would not be tampered with by unscrupulous spiritual reprobates? How many men can claim they know these meanings today? On the North American continent, there are exactly three to date, and unfortunately, no more have proven themselves worthy for such a gift of spiritual grace from the Lord. Their time has not yet come. Let me just say, this is what he's saying, folks, and who are these three people? Probably like the Lord Maitreya and Sung Young Moon. Who knows who they are? He goes on and says, their time has not yet come that they should be known, lest Satan wage war against them through his minions. The Lord has hidden them from the eyes which would condemn and betray them to the works of darkness. That's all you need to know at this point, you know. So he's giving me a little, I feel really endowed that this guy would give me a little tidbits of hidden truths. A couple of their little hidden secrets out there.
Yes. And, you know, also, Kelly, he, at the very outset of this letter, he identifies the Bogomils and the Cathars as exemplary Christians. And these were Gnostics. You know, this is what they do.
And he was calling me a Gnostic for believing in the scriptures.
Oh, he did.
Well, yeah, I mean, and yet he didn't know these are Gnostics.
Well, he knows. But this is what they all do. They try to pass off these Gnostic sects as the true Christians, and they were Gnostic to the core. They were the Albigensians were a sect of this Cathari movement. The Cathari were the forerunners of the Puritans. Cathar means pure, and they believed that they were more perfect than other Christians, and they were ascetics. They had a rite of starvation, starving themselves to death because they believed the material world was evil. They rejected marriage for their upper echelon of saints. It was very strict asceticism. And you know, these people were not exemplary Christians at all.
Mm. Strange is what they sound like. Well, you know, it's amazing how you see we've got our work cut out for us in trying to deal with the truth that's going out there. This gentleman, I don't know if I call him, this person even basically claimed that it'd be you and I, us types of Christians that believe in the Bible, would be the ones that would be delivering them up to be killed. When, of course, you know, we basically claim that the evangelicals, the ones that don't even, it's, you know, the other layer of people out there that just follow the lust of the flesh, the carnals out there that are claiming evangelical, whatever you want to call them, I don't know what you call them, but anyways, that they would deliver us to be up to be persecuted. So he also believed in basically a lot of Calvinism, and he got mad because he didn't like the fact that I said Calvinism wasn't biblical. And so he defended Calvinism. So it's amazing how you're starting to see some of these Gnostic weird beliefs coming out of the Calvinistic camp, which he's somewhat in.
Yes.
So that they have special knowledge. Since they're the elect, you would just see that how that would go right into their special knowledge and special way of looking because they're all elect.
Yes.
I could say my mind gets blown away, and it does get blown away, but I'm not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm just flabbergasted that people believe some of the things that I'm seeing that the Lord is revealing, and I'm, golly, I've been exposed to so many different, and you've already searched them out. You've known, so there's nothing new under the sun. These Huguenots or these Cathars, and these Gnostics from way back, there's nothing new, and these people are just walking the same line.
Yes, and they, you know, if you look into medieval history, if you look in the encyclopedias and other books, it describes the doctrines, the false doctrines of these Gnostic sects, and identifies them, and, you know, it turns out that they were all linked to each other, the Huguenots, the Cathars, the Bogomils, the Albigenses, and the Waldenses. And then you have these Christians who are disinformation agents today portraying them as the true Christians. And everybody takes their word for it that these were the true Christians, but these were the Gnostics.
And they just don't even believe that God's capable of keeping the word pure and getting it to us, no matter how many evil people, as David would say, have tried to destroy it. I mean, it is the indestructible word, and Jesus is the word of God, and it hasn't passed away. It's still out there. And the fact that they're wanting to say it's gone. Barbara, this all ties into the Da Vinci Code and everything that's going on. It's amazing how it all ties together. With what David's doing and what these guys are saying and the faults and all. You saw in here how he said the spirit was a female spirit. The God was two spirits in Jesus, okay? and that one of them was a female spirit. You know, that all ties right in to the Da Vinci Code stuff. So we're just dying to hear some of your information that you got from the Da Vinci Code this weekend.
Well, the Da Vinci Code is another prong of the attack on the Word of God. And the whole premise of the Da Vinci Code is that the church has lied to you. The Bible that was the canon of Scripture that was approved in the early stages of the church was not the true canon of Scripture. And they left out these Gnostic Gospels that are the true Word of God. So this is a huge assault on the Word of God. So here you have on one hand David Bay pulling the rug out from under Christians who trust in the King James Version. Then you have the Da Vinci Code coming out in a movie at the same time telling people that you can't trust the canon of Scripture that the church has had for 2,000 years. And the real Gospels portray another Jesus, and this Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, and that he commissioned her to form the church, his church, and to set the doctrine, and that she's the true head of the church, and not Peter. And so we did see the movie over the weekend. And while it wasn't an Oscar-quality movie by any stretch of the imagination, and it did get bad reviews at the Cannes Film Festival and other, you know, through other sources who previewed it, I felt that it would appeal to the broad masses and that perhaps they dumbed down the movie a bit so that the average moviegoer would buy the lie. And it was sad. You know, I left that movie theater with just tears in my eyes because I realized that many would buy the lie and be glad, you know, to have another Jesus and would be glad to have a woman, you know, this sacred feminine at the head of the church and redefining Christian doctrine. And it was just very sad to me. But
I thought the numbers were quite interesting. 29 million the first day, which 2.9 is an 11, and they use 2.9 a lot, even when the the tsunami a couple years ago. And then today in my mobile press it says that it was the 232 million, $232 million it made in the weekend. So, and it's the best ever, I guess. I don't know. I don't keep up with it. But I thought those numbers were quite amazing. Just as a quick little footnote, because today in the paper also is, you remember the sniper that was out there. And the sniper himself is using, supposedly the code, the Da Vinci code made 29 million the first day. It worldwide after the weekend it was 232 million. Now remember, I'm just connecting that with George Bush's skull and bone 322, and including 77 million domestically, the 27s there. I thought that was interesting. But also the gun today in the news also with the Da Vinci Code is that sniper that went around and shot 13 people, I think it was, and he did it in the form of a pentagram. I did shows on it a long time ago, and that he was, of course, trained sleepers. But he used the gun. A bushwhacker. Maybe you guys know the name of it. It's a bushwasher, a bushwhacker. That's the name of the gun. It's like Bush and his 322 skull and bones. Well, the sniper used a bushwhacker 223. I thought that was real interesting. Also, it's amazing how all these numbers add up, and it's like those little codes that the Da Vinci is putting out there also. All right, Barbara, no more interruptions. Go ahead.
Also, it was interesting that the date of the release was May 19. And May 19 is the feast of Pope Celestine the Fifth. And some, you know, you probably have no idea who Saint Celestine was, but about 10 years ago there was a book out called The Celestine Prophecy, which was kind of a forerunner of the Da Vinci Code, but it really wasn't on the caliber of the Da Vinci Code, and it was kind of poorly written. But Pope Celestine, I did a little research on him. Now, in Holy Blood, Holy Grail, when the priest at Rennes-les-Châteaux discovered these parchments, he went to St. Sulpice, which was the church that the Opus Dei operative went to in the Da Vinci Code, and it's a Merovingian church. And the priest at Rennes-les-Châteaux took these parchments, and then he was escorted to the Louvre, where he was given three paintings that had to do with solving with this mystery of Rennes-les-Châteaux. And one of these was a portrait of Pope Celestine the Fifth. Now, Pope Celestine was a monk, and he was a Merovingian, And he was known, he created an order called the Celestine Order in within the Catholic Church. Now, you may have recalled, I've taught before on how these religious orders were fronts for the Merovingians to infiltrate the Roman Catholic Church. And many of them have had very severe rules. They all had rules of varying degrees of strictness. And this Celestine Order, I did a little research on it, and it sounds very similar to what Opus Dei is today, or how it's portrayed, how they portrayed that Opus Dei monk. And they had the hair shirts. Actually, in the movie, it showed the cilice. Do you remember that? The spiked metal belt that the Opus Dei monk had around his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he tightened it, and it drew blood. And this cilice was traditionally a hair shirt. And the hair shirt was worn by these religious orders as penance. I mean, this is just so evil that this was their idea of how to please God. But it was an undergarment. And I think this is where they got the name Silas from this cilice. It was spelled C-I-L-I-C-E. So anyway, so this Opus Dei is just a modern form of these medieval Cathars, Merovingians, who practiced this really strict asceticism. And what is interesting to me, which is very hard to perceive, but the Catholic Church was really a Jewish construct from the beginning. It's a Judaized form of Christianity. They co-opted the church, hijacked the church, and turned it into a Judaized religion with their priests and altars and sacrifices and, you know, you name it, it's all from the Old Testament. And then the Catholic Church was gradually infiltrated by these Merovingians in larger and larger numbers, and they began to put their popes in and to Kabbalize the church, introduce elements of Gnosticism, Jewish mysticism, and Babylonian mysteries. And so then what do? They have these religious orders that were so severe in their disciplines, and now today when they're exposing this Opus Dei, they expose it as a Gentile Christian order, when in reality all of this comes out of Jewish Kabbalism. The ancient mysteries that the Jews picked up in Alexandria, Egypt, and then took up to Rome. And if I have time to get into that in the second hour, I would love to go back to Egypt and show how the Roman Catholic Church got all of its asceticism from the Egyptian pagan monks in Alexandria, Egypt, same place that the Catholic Church got those Gnostic manuscripts. But anyway, then in these movies like and books, they portray Opus Dei as a Gentile organization, a Christian organization. This whole Da Vinci Code movie and book, they misrepresent Christianity as Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism is not by any stretch of the imagination Christian. The only thing that they have retained that's Christian is they hold to the deity of Jesus Christ, and they hold to the Trinity. But the rest of it is pure Babylonian Gnosticism, mysticism. And as they're bringing down the Catholic Church as Christianity, what is going to go out the window with it is the deity of Christ.
And what I worry about is because the Christians today, or the of course I'm talking about the Protestant ones, they don't protest against Catholicism anymore. And because of that, when you line, when you say a Christian, you group everybody together in one grouping. And because there's not been any protesting going on, they group us all together. So if you claim a Christian, then they group you with the Catholics. They group you with the evil that the Catholics done and all the mysticism that they're doing. And so the average person who's not a Christian just doesn't quite understand that there is a true division there.
Yeah, this was truly disturbing in the movie. Every time they would refer to Christianity, they would be talking about Catholicism, and then they'd show you some gory scene where this Opus Dei monk is kneeling before a crucifix with Jesus on it, and he's flagellating himself and bleeding and all over the place and praying to Christ, asking if Christ would please honor his penance. And then they state that this is Christianity. And it was just infuriating to me that the masses are going to perceive this kind of perversion.
They already perceive with the Passion. They already perceive with the Crusades and all the things that the Catholics have done through indulgences. They don't mind being connected with that. It beats all I can see today how they have mushed Christianity in the boat with Catholicism and made them one. Which is completely, when you put all the supposed true Christians or evangelicals, whatever, in the same boat with the Catholics as one big group of Christians, which is a lie from the pit of hell. You are destroying Christianity just by connecting the two together.
Yes, and then they talk about the canon of Scripture as if the Catholic Church is based on the canon of Scripture. And Catholic Church has almost nothing to do with the New Testament and the canon of Scripture, but they throw that into the works too, so that before long the viewer is thinking, well, this whatever this canon of Scripture is has got to go, and you know, maybe these Gnostic Gospels do portray the true Jesus, and so it could. If the acting weren't so mediocre, they probably would have won a lot more, would win a lot more people. But I was encouraged that when they showed the reviews, took a poll of people coming out of the Cannes Film Festival, one of the people that was asked said, well, I'd find it easier to believe the Bible than I would that. And really, that section of the movie where Lee Teabing, he's the British historian, he explains to Sophie and the professor why the Gnostic Gospels are more credible than the true canon of Scripture. And he didn't do a very good job, and I believe that was the point during the Cannes Film Festival when everybody broke out laughing because the acting was so bad. So that's one good thing about it. It was pretty poorly done at that point. But even so, there will be people who want to believe this sort of heresy, want to believe that Jesus was this way, you know, a pornographic and immoral Jesus. And those people will be primed for this. The other thing that concerned me is young people attending this. I think it's fine, you know, for a mature Christian to go see it. There was a lot of discussion of the Priory of Sion. And if anything, it just validated all of our research that the Priory of Sion is where they're going with all of this. And the Priory is going to come out of the closet, you know, fairly soon. But at the same time, a young person who's maybe raised in a Christian home, whose faith is fragile, you know, who's at a turning point where he has to, you know, make his faith the true gospel, his way of life. You know, young people could be influenced by this. And we kind of believe that this will be the occasion of the great falling away, where there will be many professing Christians who are on the fence, who will believe the lie. We just pray that it won't be these young people.
Well, most of them are coming from apostate churches already, Barbara, and they're already believing a lot of lies. You got to believe a lot of little lies before you believe the big lies. And I think this Da Vinci lie is just another set of lies. And God says, if you don't have a love for truth, I'm going to send you a strong delusion. I mean, our youth go off to college. They're in the for schools. They're in the regular schools. They've been taught so much Gnosticism and so many lies already, from evolution to everything, all the stuff that they've been taught. And they've discredited Christianity all of their educational life. Of course they're going to fall for anything, and including the Da Vinci Code. They'll fall for anything. It's the parents' fault that they are going to fall, not Dan Brown's, because we know Satan's there. But the parents have got to teach their children, and the parents don't know. I mean, but if you're in a mainline, if you're in most any church today, 98% of them are going to, you've already bought into so many lies already. And you're tossed to and fro, most of them are, with every wind of doctrine. It's pretty much just, you know, it's just cafeteria-style religion. Let's just go out and pick and choose what we want. We can pick Da Vinci Code stuff, and Gnostics, Judas, all the different gospels are out there. We can choose Kabbalah. We can choose witchcraft, whichever word we like the best. I mean, it's just cafeteria-style religion today. And Da Vinci Code is just a long line of all the other lies that are out there. These kids have already bought into a lot of it, sadly.
Yeah, and a lot of the youth groups are just promoting false doctrine, and the pastors.
I mean, these kids have already gone to see The Passion. They've already gone to see Lord of the Rings. They've already gone to see Harry Potter all together as youth groups. They've all gone to see, C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, they've already seen. Those are all probably more dangerous than the Da Vinci Code. At least you know the Da Vinci Code doesn't go with what I've been taught a little bit. But the other stuff, they think it goes with what they've been taught.
And many churches, the pastors do not teach doctrine. They teach everything else, you know, the touchy-feely, if it feels good, especially sometimes in the charismatic churches, there's...
And the music they're singing. And so the music that they're singing, it is just... So, you know, the youth are so far gone before this came out. Had they been taught, would it be no problem. But they were already gone so far. Very few of them have been prepared for the lies that are all around them before they went out into the public arena. And it's sad. It breaks my heart. I mean, I got my son who's 22. I mean, you send him off to college. You can't wait for him to get out of there because he's been taught lies their whole time. He was taught lies in a private school. Had to tell him all the time those are lies, and just constantly teaching the truth. And he's never rebelled against the scriptures. And I hope and pray that these type of the Da Vinci Code stuff. I taught him all about Revelation. I taught him everything that's going on in the world, and he believes me. Praise the Lord. He's not rebelled against me, and so he's still leans against for the truth and not going to fall to every little wind of doctrine that's out there. But it's frightening. To think that there's something else. I mean, there's so much already out there. Da Vinci Code is just something else. Basically, it's all the hidden things that have been going on underneath the current now coming out.
Yes. And
all right, well, we're late. We are way past our, and our shortwave people are just getting ready to come on in 30 seconds. So, sorry, Barbara. Stop. Mark yourself there where you came and where I broke in, and we'll go back to the beginning. We'll be right back, folks. praise the Lord, and good afternoon, saints and good Bereans out there. No, Bereans didn't come after John Calvin, or before, they came way before in Acts. They are not an accident. They're from the city of Berea, the city of Berea, and they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, tells us in Acts, somewhere, 17, forget exactly where. That they heard and listened with every readiness of mind, and then searched the scriptures to find out if what they were hearing was true. So basically, from my point of reference, a Berean is someone who searches the scriptures to find out what is truth. And they know, a good Berean knows, that men's hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all, that God's word says that we are to never, that cursed is the man who trusts in men. As in Jeremiah tells us, in Psalms it tells us that we need to trust in the Lord. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. And then it tells us in Ephesians that we could be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes if we're not, our feet are not cemented in the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God right here, which He gave us here for us to go by. Thank goodness I, Kelly McGinley, does not have to trust in any human in the whole world, especially someone who calls themselves the elect, someone who calls themselves the only one. There's only three on this continent that we can trust to know the hidden secrets within the scriptures. Thank goodness I don't have to trust no human, period. God preserved His word for me, so, and kept it and simplified it, kept it simple, easy to understand for every single person. He didn't put a bunch of secrets all in it for just the elect to find out. He simplified it for a child to know it, for a young person, and the scriptures don't need to be interpreted by gurus. They are, because it's plain and it's simple. And it doesn't leave room for interpretation. It's absolute fact. And it's just absolute black and white. There's no room for interpretation. A lot of people like to interpret it, but it can't be because it's truth. You just take it as it is. And it's just amazing. Thank goodness that I'm locked completely on the rock so that I'm not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that's coming, especially. Sorry, folks, especially, I've been exposed to a lot, from star children to oh my goodness, to all these different crazy things and Gnostic beliefs, and his person's right and that person's right and this person's vision and that person's dreams and this person. And luckily, I don't have to trust anything. And the Bible tells me, cursed is the man who trusts in men, because men's hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all. So here at the Berean Chronicles, I'm telling you not even trust Kelly, only trust in the Word. And I would rather trust in this Bible than any person. And I trust the Lord. God had promised us that He would keep His Word pure and get it to us and prepare, preserve it for us and keep it for us. And He is the God who does not want us deceived and tossed to and fro. And there's just, we're in the age of deception, I call it. Extreme amount of deception that's out there. We've got Barbara Aho on the line. We're going to be going over, she saw the Da Vinci Code this weekend. A lot of the information that's in there is quite amazing. And we started at the last hour for those who are WWCR. Our listeners on shortwave are just coming in. We've spent the last hour somewhat going over that, a little bit over the news. And the Kabbalist, what's her name, Madonna, stringing herself, putting a thorn on her head and putting herself up on a cross to sing a song, crucifying herself, quite amazing. And she's, of course, Kabbalah. It's amazing how that's kind of where it's all going. Weird. It's kind of weird. And I just learned about it not too many months ago. Well, anyways, we sure appreciate our listeners on WWCR. We appreciate Frank of the American Voice Radio Network for picking the Berean Chronicles up and put us out on C-band satellite system, Galaxy 11, transponder channel 12, audio 8.1. We appreciate all the networks that pick us up, and also micro stations and macro stations. If you're interested in a micro, your own station on your own property, where you can, the one in Alabama, Central Alabama, is 89.7 on the FM dial. We sure appreciate you, Daryl. And if you want your own, give us a call. We'll connect you with someone that you can have your own station on your own property, blasting all your neighbors on the FM dial. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that great? If you would like to listen to our show the first hour in your shortwave, or if your shortwave goes down, please keep this number handy so you can listen from the phone number. If you have a web, listen from theBereanChronicles.com, theBerean, B-E-R-E-A-N, Chronicles.com, or theAmericanVoice.com. And also, I don't know if WWCR is up and going on their internet yet, but when they are, then they'll be playing it on their computer, which would be great, on their webpage. The phone bridge is 712-580-1100, 712-580-1100, secret code 97524#, 97524#. And we sure appreciate those who pray for us, who also do business with us. We appreciate your sending us letters. We're getting some letters. Whoa, I'll tell you. Thank goodness. Y'all might blow my mind, but you're not going to blow me away, because I'm never going to be tossed to and fro with doctrines of demons, but doctrines with every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. And there's so many out there, it makes my head spin, but it's not going to blow me away. Now, I will say that they're saying in Alabama, in this year, in 06, six storms, six major hurricanes in 06. Well, isn't that just nifty? They're getting into the 6-6 stuff, too, 6-6-6 stuff. Also, quite amazing that they would come out front page news with that six, you know, in my newspaper. Hurricane season starts up next week on the 1st. Feels like we've been through it. We never got out of it, just from the media propaganda, fear mongering that's going out there. It's quite amazing. Anyways, also, but if you're in the area, these are major storms because our government, through their scalar technology and or HAARP technology or whatever they've developed that you and I haven't heard the name of, they are creating these storms. And we'll read, maybe one day next week, we'll read on the show that and I'll send you a copy, shortwave listeners. If you don't have a copy of it and you want a copy, I'll be happy to send it to you. You just give us a call or email us or mail us. But I'll send you a copy of the 1977 Geneva War Treaty that we signed with 33 other countries, that all these countries signed a treaty together that they would not hurt each other, they would not kill, they would not use weather modifications. This was in 77, that they would not use weather modifications for weapons of mass destruction against each other. They didn't say that they wouldn't use it against themselves, which what we're seeing here in this country, the weather wars. And so I'm right here in the major belt of where these weather wars are coming in. I think they have not perfected them. I think they really meant for Katrina to go right into New Orleans, and it missed the boat and it messed up. So they blew the levees 24 hours later. It was a hurricane one. And they were on the west side, and they didn't have any problem, and they just had to blow the levees to make it worse. It hit Mississippi. Anyways, so if you're getting ready for disasters, man-made, it's funny how all the news is saying man-made disasters. I'm going, what? They're saying natural disasters or man-made disasters. I'm going, whoa, man-made disasters? That's exactly what this is, man-made disasters. I wonder how they're defining that in the news. But you need a Berkey water filter if you're going to be in one of these man-made disasters. I promise you, for many reasons, you need to get a Berkey water filter. You need to be able to filter your water for many reasons. And the Berkey water filter is the one that you can trust, the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water possible. You need to drink a lot. It gets out the harmful pathogenic bacteria, E. coli, and Giardia, different things like that's in there, the chemicals, the hazardous carcinogen chemicals that are in it, chlorine, fluoride, and it's easy to use. It's very economical because it lasts a long, long time. Filters thousands, not millions, depending on what size, thousands of gallons of water, and it's flexible because you can get any size that fits your family needs, and it has a proven history, and so you need to get it. I also keep a little bit of chlorine on my side. If you had really bad water, I would chlorinate it somewhat, then put it through the Berkey to get rid of the chlorine also. But to be safe, if you have, if you're in an area where you're having to drink lake water, you're having to drink river water, or water from your tap after a man-made disaster, you need a Berkey water filter. Give us a call at 866-273-8253. That's 866-273-8253. And those who are just coming up with us here, the scripture I had in the last hour, of course, I read some of it already at the beginning, was that man's hearts are desperately wicked, who can know them? But also, that curse is a man who trusts in men. Better in Psalms, it tells us, to trust in the Lord and not to put our trust in men. But in Ephesians, and it, as Paul always says, why are you so easily swayed and turned to another gospel, to false gospels? In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And, it's amazing from this Hannah Billup things, star children being abducted by the New World Order, which I've got a lot of, information on that. We went over a little bit yesterday, to getting letters, 6, 7, 8, 10-page type letters from a listener in Waco that says there's only three people that are elect, and they're the chosen, and they're the only ones that can tell us the hidden truth in the Bible. I just praise the Lord that he has preserved his word and given it to me, and I trust the Bible. I trust no man. Zero. Zilch. I don't even raise my son. I don't even trust my kids. I verify, and I teach them to be trustworthy through the rod and whatever else measures I need. And I teach them to be trustworthy and not to lie and not to deceive. But men's hearts are desperately wicked, and we have to be taught to be good. And we have to bring fear to be good. And it works, I promise you. But anyways, I've got the scripture, and I don't have to trust. There's not a man in this world I have to trust. And I trust the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit teaches me from the Scriptures. It doesn't bring me special knowledge. The Scripture is incontrovertible. It doesn't need to be interpreted by anyone. It's very plain, black and white. It's very easy to understand. An 8th grader, 5-year-old can understand it. And it is, and it doesn't have all these hidden things that people are trying to pull out. That's Gnosticism. That's New Age guruism. And all this is going, as we, Barbara and I talked to the first hour, this is all leading to discrediting every Bible out there, even the text, or discredit everything that's written out there, and only trust the Spirit within you. And I'm going to tell you, that is an evil spirit within you that's telling you not to trust the Word of God. And I wouldn't trust any spirit out there unless it completely 100% lines up with the Word of God. That's how you know that spirit. You got to test the spirits, folks. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot more evil. There's only one good one, the Holy Spirit. There's lots of evil spirits, millions. We don't know, but there's a lot of them out there, and they're all out to deceive you. And if you don't have an absolute foundation, a plumb line of absolute truth of which to bring that spirit back into, to make sure it lines up with, which is what a Berea does, Berean, line it back up with the scripture. This whole thing about the Da Vinci Code, that's what that's about, is that there's nothing we can trust. We got to trust gurus out there, self-proclaimed gurus who say they have it, they're the elect, and they get to tell us what the Bible says. And no thank you. I don't want that. I don't even want to know it. Anyways, so we've got Barbara Aho on the line. She needs to be called again, Phyllis. Somehow she got disconnected there. And we are going to be going over She Saw the Da Vinci Code. And she's telling us a little bit about what's happening. I wanted to recap a little bit about that. She said it was a very poorly made show. I thought it was quite interesting, the money numbers. For those gun people out there, one thing that's in the news that you missed the first hour is that this sniper, that's killed 13 people or tried to shoot in, that's in the trial right now from a couple years ago, who was a sleeper, of course. His gun was a bushwhacker, a bush something. You might, and I don't have that in front of me. I read it and I printed it, but I've lost it in my pile here. It's a bush something, .223 caliber. And it's just like Bush being a 3-2-2 skull and bone. This gun this guy used was a Bush something or other, 223 caliber. I thought that was quite interesting. There's always those little nidbits of information we need to know because they're hiding things. They're hiding things out there and letting us know. Okay, we've got Barbara on the line there, and we're going to go over. She's going to recap a little bit, important points maybe, and then get into the Da Vinci Code. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, Kelly. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I got you.
Okay. Is it clear?
Yes, it's clear.
Okay, good. I just wanted to go back to David Bay's latest installment on tearing down the King James Bible, which is what he's doing. But he starts out with a false, unproven premise. And what he's really doing here, he's using this false premise to build upon it a structure of false doctrine. Because you notice he immediately launches into explaining these so-called symbols, Rosicrucian symbols, that were in the King James, the original King James Version. Of course, he doesn't have a shred of proof that these were actually in the King James, or that these columns were in the the verses and the chapter divisions form these columns. But what he's doing here is using the King James as an opportunity to educate the masses on occult symbols. And what I wanted to do now is explain that this is a very important part of the agenda to educate the masses in occult symbology. And this is what the Da Vinci Code does, too, but I'll go into that in a minute. Now, on the Cutting Edge website, David Bay is always saying how important it is that Christians understand these occult symbols. And, of course, he says, you know, so that they recognize them when they see them. But he goes into way too much detail, and he even incorporates at one point in this this propaganda piece, he incorporates biblical characters. Jesus Christ was 33 years old when he was crucified. He's talking about the number 33. Solomon stood for 33 years before being pillaged by the king of Egypt. Then he has all of this, these quotes from occult sources. The highest, he says, this one occult source states, this highest of the master numbers was the age of the master initiate Jesus at his death, resurrection, and ascension. So what he's doing is using Masonic sources to validate Gnostic versions of Christianity. You know, of course, Jesus wasn't a master initiate. But he incorporates all of this and to the Bible to teach his false Gnostic doctrine. And on his website, he advertises a book by Tim Wallace Murphy called Cracking the Symbol Code, Revealing the Secret Heretical Messages Within the Church and Renaissance Art. And here's what he states. I want to read this promo on the Cutting Edge website. Now, Tim Wallace Murphy and Marilyn Hopkins were the authors of another book called Roslin, Guardians of the Grail. These people are high-level occultists, just like Peter Dawkins and Lewis Buff Perry. But here he is actually selling this book by Tim Wallace Murphy on the Cutting Edge website. And David Bay writes, Cutting Edge has always taught that great symbolism has always been hidden within occult literature, a symbolism designed to hide important messages for the adepts while hiding the message from the uninitiated. With the Da Vinci Code movie and our own video, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, coming up next year, it is more important than ever to understand this symbolism. This secular author has unveiled much of the meaning of hidden symbolism from the past. I mean, here he doesn't tell you who this man, Tim Wallace Murphy, really is. He just says he's a secular author, which he's a lot more than that. And then David Bay writes, it was a dangerous matter to be a dissenter from the Orthodox Roman Catholic Church in medieval times, to be branded a heretic, invited torture and execution. And get this next statement. Courageous and steadfast dissenters included the Knights Templar, the Freemasons, the Cathars, and scientists of the day. Their avowed intention was to safeguard the truth about Jesus and his mystery, which they believe was revealed in the early scriptures, but which had been rejected and suppressed by Rome. Now, this is David Bay making this statement about the Cathars and the Knights Templars and the Freemasons safeguarding the truth about Jesus and his mystery.
And what they're really safeguarding, Barbara, is the that Mary Magdalene, Merovingian bloodline hogwash.
Exactly.
And so I was blown away when I read that on David Bay's website. So not only is he attacking the preserved word of God, he's also stating clearly right there that he believes that the Freemasons, that no wonder he quotes from them all the time, the Masons and from Hanley P. Hall and Albert Pike or all these folks. He's quoting from Illuminati folks all the time as if they're the truth.
That's right.
And it blows me away. And then the fact that he would commend the Knights Templar and the Masons, Rosicrucians, whatever, as preserving true Christianity.
That's
right there.
Right.
And people, unbelievable.
They were the ones who safeguarded the truth about Jesus and his ministry.
And what you can learn and from their symbolism is they're safeguarding the Merovingian bloodline.
That's right. Now, that you can find this. This is October 29, 2005, in his newsletter section, newsletter/102905HTML. You can go to his website and read this promo. Then at the end of it, he has a disclaimer. Tim Wallace Murphy has written a wonderfully accessible guide to heretical thought expressed in esoteric symbolism, secretly encoded within religious art. The fascination of this hidden symbolism cannot be resisted. And then he goes on to say, Cutting Edge does not agree with all the opinions of this secular author, but we do encourage you to study the meanings of these hidden symbols so you can better understand the manner in which the world is spinning towards an appointment with Antichrist. So he's selling this book to his subscribers and people who visit his website ostensibly so that they can recognize these symbols, learn the symbols, recognize them, and recognize occult sources. But he hasn't told them who this man really is. And, of course, I'm going to read some quotations from some occult sources that show that educating the masses of humanity in this symbology is an essential component of establishing the New Age, because symbolism is the language of the demons. And in the Da Vinci Code, anyone who's read the book, one of the main character, the main protagonist, was Robert Langdon. And he was a professor of religious symbology at Harvard University. And the movie opens with him conducting a lecture, and he states something on the order of, we need to understand symbols because these tell us about our past. Well, of course, the symbols were what the pagans used to represent their gods. And, of course, this is why God forbid his people in Exodus 20, when he handed down the Ten Commandments, forbid his people to portray any likeness of the Godhead or anything in heaven or on earth in the form of an image, because the pagans, for centuries before then, this is how they worshiped their deities. So this Robert Langdon, actually his name, Langdon, I believe, is kind of I don't know what you call it, an anagram, meaning language, and then the word down. Because symbology, and he was a professor of symbology, and symbols were the universal language that was handed down to humanity by the gods, by these demons, and it was a means of communicating with man, and a means of mankind communicating with the demons. So I'd like to read a quote from Madame Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine that explains this whole concept of the universal mystery language that was prevalent in the pre-flood era and is going to be restored during the tribulation period, the occult golden age. And I'm quoting from The Secret Doctrine. Blavatsky stated, "Recent discoveries made by great mathematicians and Kabbalists thus prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that every theology, from the earliest and oldest down to the latest, has sprung not only from a common source of abstract beliefs, but from one universal esoteric or mystery language. These scholars hold the key to the universal language of old, and have turned it successfully, though only once, in the hermetically closed door leading to the Hall of Mysteries. The great archaic system known from prehistoric ages as the sacred wisdom science, and that is contained and can be traced in every old as well as every new religion, had and still has its universal language, the language of the Hierophants, which has seven dialectics, so to speak, and each referring and being specially appropriate to one of the seven mysteries of nature. Each had its own symbolism. The proof of this lies to this day in the extreme difficulty which the Orientalists in general and the Indianists and Egyptologists especially experience in interpreting the allegorical writings of the Aryans and the hieratic records of Old Egypt. This is because all the ancient records were written in a language which was universal and known to all nations alike in days of old, but which is now only intelligible to the few." And of course, when occultists go through these initiation rites, they are taught the language, this universal language, which is symbology. And this is known as the language of the gods. Ignatius Donnelly wrote in his volume, huge volume on Atlantis, The Antediluvian World, "The Egyptians spoke of their hieroglyphic system of writing, not as their own invention, but as the language of the gods. The gods were doubtless their highly civilized ancestors, the people of Atlantis, who, as we shall hereafter see, became the gods of many of the Mediterranean mysteries of Mediterranean races." So when David Bay and all of these books, you notice on David Bay's website, he's always selling books on understanding the symbols. You have Kathy Burns, Masonic and Occult Symbols, Tex Mars, Mystery Mark of the New Age, and other books on symbols. He's always selling books on symbology. So that, and what he's doing is educating his subscribers in this ancient mystery language, which is going to be restored during the tribulation period. So people need to understand where he's going with this whole defending the King James Bible. He's undermining the written word of God. He's starting to interpret it in terms of codes, hidden codes that he's uncovering. Other so-called Christian ministries are introducing, symbols that teaching their adherents symbology, and the symbols. Well, he's also interpreting the artwork in the King James Bible as occult symbolism, occult images, which it's not. And so they're using this whole King James issue not only to destroy faith in the written Word of God, but there's another agenda going on here to teach symbology. And during the tribulation period, there's going to be a universal, a worldwide establishment of these mystery schools. And this is where they will, these hierophants, these high initiates of Freemasonry, will be teaching the masses how to communicate with demons through symbols. And I believe a lot of this will happen in the churches. You know, probably the Sunday schools will be venues, opportunities. The Sunday school materials will start teaching symbology and Bible codes, which is occult numerology. And this is what will replace the written text of the Word of God.
And not only that, Barbara, not only just the codes and such, but people who say this elect person, which is what this letter I got from Waco, that there's only three on the American continent that God's elected and given the wisdom to be able to find the truth written within the scriptures, because you can't trust the written word. We have to trust these three people. That's quite amazing statement. But that's being said all over out there, that there's no written word that we can trust, and we have to trust humans.
Yes,
and who have special powers and are hearing from a spirit within them, and there's nothing more dangerous than that.
No, and these will be the high initiates. They've gone through the rituals and the initiations, and they understand the codes and the symbols, and it's so deceptive. And then you have people like Chuck Missler and D. James Kennedy promoting the gospel in the stars, which I call the false gospel in the stars, because the symbols of the zodiac are nothing more than pagan representations of the gods of Atlantis. But they claim that these images in the heavens, in the constellations, are representing Jesus Christ. And I have a very large report on this false gospel in the stars on the website. It's very important because these so-called Christian leaders are promoting these symbols, these representations, which God would never do, because He forbids the Godhead from being represented in symbols or images. But D. James Kennedy says that God placed these images of Jesus Christ in the heavens to instruct mankind.
Yeah, D. James Kennedy also says Bush is a Christian and a wonderful, great president. We should all vote for him and follow him. So you can't trust anything that comes out of, and he's a preterist. So, you know, he doesn't believe the Lord's coming back to rule and reign, and there's a lot of things people need. So that we need to do a whole show on that, Barbara, on the false gospel in the stars.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we believe the Lord created the stars and named them, but they have perverted what the Lord has done, and now they're even trying to say that you can trust the zodiac, that it's the gospel.
Yes, and then D. James Kennedy, in his book, he goes through all of the signs of the zodiac, and he tells how these four-footed beasts and centaurs and serpents that are in the zodiac in the heavens, which of course are, you know, these astrologers just took the constellations and formed these evil beasts. And then D. James Kennedy, what he says is that these are representations of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is represented as a fish. Jesus Christ is represented as a centaur. It's blasphemous, the whole book. But I've been amazed at how Christians think, oh, well, this sounds good. You know, God must have done this, created the zodiac and the put images of Jesus Christ in the heavens. It's really so dangerous. And then you can tell, if you know anything about the Merovingian conspiracy, the deception, he's setting up this whole astrological framework to validate the credentials of the Antichrist. In other words, after people have been taught astrology, they will, like he has one of the signs in the heavens, Virgo, is bringing forth the branch. You know, the virgin brought forth the branch. Well, of course, he doesn't tell you that Virgo is the great mother goddess who brought forth, you know, Horus. But he says that the virgin brought forth Jesus Christ. And the branch, of course, is used in the Bible to speak of Jesus, but also the Antichrist. The man we believe is the Antichrist is Thomas Plantard, and his name means branch. So you can see where he's going with all of this. It's a huge setup to validate the false Christ as the Christ. Very, very deceptive, and it does warrant a whole program, I think, just to educate people. But also in D. James Kennedy's book, he has a whole chapter sort of in the beginning of his book where he spends a whole chapter saying that the study of, we're not teaching astrology. We're not teaching horoscopes. This is not horoscopes. Horoscopes are evil. We're just teaching what the ancients believed, and he calls it astronomy. But it's nothing more than astrology. And you know, this is what these disinformation agents do. They deny the very thing that they're doing. David Bay, he says he's defending the King James Version when in reality he's doing exactly the opposite. So if somebody says, tearing away at the undermining the King James Version, people can say, well, no, here he says he's defending it. So he's covered himself so that it's just a very deceptive approach, but this is how they cover what they're really doing.
In America today, Barbara, people have just lost their deductive reasoning skills. They can't think for themselves, and they just pretty much believe what's ever told to them. And the average person, I mean, if you can think for yourself, you can see that he's not defending the King James, no matter what he's saying. But if we believe everything we read, then we just say, oh, he's defending, and this is how you defend it. by saying the Rosicrucians had their hands on it for a year and played with it. And then they sent it to us. So, but, you know, the average, if you can think, if people can learn to reason, I mean, that's why I've got this book on the dialectic praxis. If you can understand the dialectic, if you can understand the dual conspiracy and the dialectic, how they say one thing and do something else, create the crisis, you know, and then the synthesis. I have a little blue book by Dean Gosher that I think is probably one of the most very, you know, things I've read on the dialectic praxis and understanding. If you can understand the game, then you can see it whenever it's being played and they're trying to do play with your mind. Have you ever read that one, Barbara?
No, I haven't.
I have to get it to you. Well, tell us a little bit more what you learned in the Da Vinci Code.
Okay, let me grab my notes right here. Well, there was other symbolism in the Da Vinci Code. There was a nun who was the prioress of St. Sulpice. Now, anyone who's read the book, or probably very few have seen the movie, but St. Sulpice was a high-level Merovingian, a very important Merovingian church in Paris. And St. Sulpice was located on the Paris Zero Meridian before the Greenwich Zero Meridian was established in 1884. And this is where it's located on the 33rd degree longitude. and this nun in St. Sulpice. Now, this is, if you've read the book, recall the scene where the Opus Dei monk goes to St. Sulpice and he murders this nun in cold blood. And but her name is very interesting. Her name is Sister Sandrine, S-A-N-D-R-I-N-E. And one of our researchers noticed how very close this name was to the word Sanhedrin. And in fact, in Hebrew, Sanhedrin is Ha Sandrin. So her name, she is a type of the Jewish Sanhedrin. You see, they give little clues throughout the movie, symbols and codes, to identify who they really are. And the symbolism of this Opus Dei monk, now, of course, Opus Dei is supposed to represent the evil Catholic Church, which is supposed to represent Christianity, and also Rome. And the symbolism there in that whole scene was the when the Romans destroyed the Sanhedrin when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. And, of course, this is the whole agenda of gaining vengeance against the Romans, the Merovingian Jewish revenge for the destruction of Jerusalem. And they are, you know, taking it out on the Catholic Church and Rome for what happened way back. The Jews, the apostate Jews, then did not see the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of their temple, the dispersion of the Jews who had rejected Christ. They did not see this as God's judgment on Israel, as Jesus prophesied when he said, "Behold, you know, your temple is left unto you, your land is left unto you desolate, and not one stone shall be left upon another." Jesus was pronouncing God's judgment on Israel, and he did it with tears in his eyes. He was weeping. And God did judge Israel, but the Jews have never understood that this was God's judgment, and they are to this day blaming Rome. Now, a remnant of Jews very soon will recognize, and in fact, there is even a remnant within Jewry today that understands that the Zionist movement is evil, that God did judge the nation, the whole nation, for their apostasy. These Jews are anti-Zionist, and they believe that God will restore the Jewish nation when the Messiah returns. Now, they don't at this point recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, but at some point, a remnant within this remnant will recognize it. But the vast majority of Jews is still blaming Rome and the Roman Catholic Church for all their troubles. And so this whole scene of in St. Sulpice is a very important Merovingian church because it's on the 33rd degree longitude. And, of course, it's directly north of Mount Hermon in Israel, in the north of Israel, which is where the tribe of Dan was relocated. And Mount Hermon is the location where the Nephilim came down and mated with human women. And Mount Hermon is on the 33rd degree, both longitude and latitude. So we believe this is why the 33rd degree is so important in Freemasonry, because they worship these Nephilim, the fallen angels that God cursed and who mated with human women, and then God cursed the whole pre-flood world. But then you have David Bay giving this false interpretation of the 33rd degree, and this is what the Freemasons do. They, as Albert Pike says, they give out false interpretations for the uninitiated and the lower ranks, and he identifies Jesus Christ as a 33rd degree Freemason, and Jesus was 33 years old when he died, you know, so he's giving out a false interpretation there. They will never give you the real meaning behind the 33rd degree, which has to do with Mount Hermon, which is the 33rd degree latitude and longitude. So that was one aspect of the Da Vinci Code that was important. Of course, the attack. Oh, the other thing that, you know, there are many books coming out in pretending to expose the Da Vinci Code and to give, to equip Christians to contend for the faith. And I've noticed that all of the sources where these books are coming, from which these books are coming, are Calvinist or apostate in some form. And when you read these books, they do refute the heresy that Jesus married Mary Magdalene. But then they go on to give boatloads of disinformation on the Priory of Zion. They say it didn't exist. It was a recent invention. Pierre Plantard formed this organization in 1956. And they do not want, these books are basically disinformation, and you don't want to believe the information that's in them and start circulating the disinformation, because we have shown on the website how the Priory of Zion dates back to remote antiquity. It started in Alexandria, Egypt, in the first century A.D., with the Society of Ormus, and of course Alexandria, Egypt is just where the Gnostic manuscripts began. And these Gnostics were very busy, not only changing the scriptures back then, but formulating this heresy of Mary Magdalene and Jesus and the false doctrine. And that's where it started, in Alexandria, Egypt. The Priory of Zion started there. It went under a different name called the Society of Ormus. But the symbol of the Society of Ormus was the rosy cross. And from there, these monks migrated into Italy and around the 5th century. And from there, they relocated to France, and at that point they began the Crusades. They had infiltrated the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, and they began to they enlisted all of Europe to regain the Holy Land. So this is one of the key pieces of disinformation that these so-called exposés of the Merovingian, the Da Vinci Code, are disseminating. So be very careful of these books that are pretending to expose.
Right. Barbara, I think one of the biggest issues about that, everybody's saying, don't go see the movie, don't go see it, is because they don't want you through all their disinformation coming from the mainstream denominations, and all their, as James D. Kennedy's come out with his debunking the code, Da Vinci Code or whatever, lots of the different books that are out there, they don't want us to know that the Priory of Zion is really exists and what their agenda is and what they're for, and the Priory of Zion, connect it to the Antichrist, which is where it's all going, and they don't want the average person out there to know anything about it.
No, and if you see the movie, the Priory of Zion is preeminent. They talk about it all through the movie. And, of course, if you don't go to see the movie and you read the exposés instead, you'll think that this Priory of Zion is a hoax. But the Merovingians aren't spending bazillions of dollars to produce books and movies about an organization that isn't important. And our research, which we have a lot of information on the Watch Unto Prayer website about the Priory of Zion, it is the very well-concealed secret society in Paris that is the directorate of all secret societies worldwide.
Right, right.
And it's over the Freemasons. It's over the whole New Age cult movement. And this is the secret society. It's really the learned elders of Zion of the 33rd degree. And this is the organization that will produce the Antichrist. We show who that individual is. He's the, at present time, the Grand Master of the Priory of Zion. But of course, according to Scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist will be revealed in his time. He's in hiding right now. And the Da Vinci Code makes that very clear, that this individual is in hiding. But at the right time, he will be brought forward on the world scene. And we believe that in the meantime, the Priory of Zion and all of these secret societies are setting up a multitude of counterfeits and decoys. The deception is so enormous.
It sounds a lot like this letter that one of the shortwave listeners sent me from Waco, that there's only a few people on the continent and that they can't come out yet. They have to stay in hiding, too. They're waiting for the Antichrist, I guess, to come out too. And they said that what need would God have of chosen prophets? I'm quoting from someone who wrote me from Waco. If everyone who presumed to use his name was capable of knowing his truth, when he has hidden it, so it would not be tampered with unscrupulous spiritual reprobates. How many men can claim they know what these mean today? On the North American continent, there are exactly 3 to date, and unfortunately no more have proven themselves worthy for such a gift of spiritual grace from the Lord, having the hidden knowledge you're talking about. He says their time, it sounds a lot like what you're saying, that the Vinci Code, their time has not yet come that they should be known, lest Satan wage war against them, and through his minions the Lord has hidden them from the eyes which would condemn and betray them to the works of darkness. That's all you need to know at this point. So this person's given me a little special tip here, as if I'm worthy to have some special knowledge from this elect person here. How you receive this information will determine whether you receive future revelations. Oh, okay, good. And, well, I don't receive it, so don't send me any new revelations, please. Mr. from Waco, Mr. DBE from Waco. So there, basically what this guy is saying sounds a lot like the Da Vinci Code.
Yes, and you know, Kelly, yesterday you were talking about the manifest sons of God.
Yeah, I've had to deal with that recently too, and it's all together, isn't it?
Well, I believe these are going to be the manifest sons of God. They're going to be manifest one day and claim to be gods, the gods that have returned to earth, whatever they believe that they are.
Well, these people believe they're going to receive the manifestations of their resurrected bodies, and they're going to have lots of powers and lots of hidden knowledge and hidden truth, and they're going to know everything. And so they're the sons of God. So they believe it's going to happen to them, though. I thought it was very interesting, Barbara, about you saying Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron, Israel.
Herman.
H-E-R-M-O-N.
Yes.
H-E-R-M-O-N is on the 33 degree, and that's where the Nephilim came down. It's quite amazing if anybody's, I've interviewed the guy, the Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. Is going to be that show, and the American Prophecies of Ancient Scriptures Reveal Our Nation's Future. Both of those videos are going to be shown on regular TV, PAX TV, this June 3rd at 8 o'clock. And it's amazing how all this stuff's coming out. But the guy that wrote the movie, the book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, his name is Heron, H-E-R-O-N. And you're saying, what was the name of that city again?
Mount Hermon.
H-E-R-M-O-N?
H-E-R-M-O-N.
And so his name's the same, Dr. Patrick Heron. Everything's there but the M.
Yes, and remember that...
Weird that his last name's the same place that you said... The Nephilims came down to that city, and yet hear his name, and he writes a book on the Nephilims, and it's getting ready. His book, let me tell you, people, secular TV doesn't put truth out there, and they're putting his book out there, The Nephilim and the Pyramid Apocalypse, out this coming Saturday, two Saturdays from now, June the 3rd at 8 p.m. Please watch it, see what kind of strange things are going to be coming out about that. Hopefully you'll be able to watch it, Barbara.
Yes, that's interesting. And you remember the Harry Potter series?
Oh, of course.
Well, the heroine in that one, that series was named Hermione.
Oh.
So there are all kinds
Well,
of
there's a Hermie, you know, for the children at the Christian bookstores. You can get Hermie the Hermie.
Oh, yeah.
Caterpillar.
Well, that, you know what it originally goes back to is Hermes.
Yes.
In Egypt. And he was supposedly one of these pre-flood gods that survived the flood and then went to Egypt and taught the Egyptians what the pre-flood race.
And then they named a city after him, huh? Hermon, Mount Hermon.
Yeah, Mount Hermon in Israel. Well, that's what they named. And the tribe of Dan, which was located on, God gave them the territory on the coast.
Go ahead, if I interrupt you. It's funny that it's on the 33rd parallel where they came, and that's where, you know, the supposed UFO went down on the 33rd parallel. And then on the 33rd day of the year, on the 33rd parallel, they shot the satellite, our astronauts, out of the sky a few years ago, spread their debris all over Texas. And, you know, it's quite amazing, all the connections there. You know, there's lots of these little connections. I appreciate you spending some time with us. We can't wait to have you on next week, maybe Tuesday or Thursday. Barbara Aho, watch unto prayer, watch-unto-prayer.org.